Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I have my co-host.
And good evening, and what a wonderful day it is, and how excited I am to be able to be a part of what we're going to discuss tonight.
Yeah, scams. They are everywhere. You know, last week I kept getting inundated with so many emails and texts regarding scams in our community. And one of the ones that really disturbed me was with our senior citizens. And I was like, how can they do that to these senior citizens? And then I'm like, oh, I'm a senior citizen.
Yeah, I had that discovery too, right? All of a sudden, hold up, that would include me.
I'm like, yes, they're scamming people like me and my parents and my grandparents. Yes. And it really upset me. And I said, we have to bring more awareness to things that are going on in our local communities. And thankfully, I was able to reach out to my commissioners, and I spoke to Commissioner Denise Grant, and she was able to connect me with the chief of police, Chief Constance Stanley. And I'm so excited about her in our community being the chief of police since 2016. And I have met her on several occasions doing chamber events, and she was unable to make it, but she did send a detective who will be able to assist us tonight. And I just want to thank our law enforcement around the world that are protecting and serving and are concerned about personal matters that affect us. And I'm going to bring Detective Clark. Hello, how are you?
Hello. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you so much. This is your private time. You're at home, and I appreciate you going the extra mile to still want to help and serve, even though you're off the clock. And I just want to applaud you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There's so many scams going on, and I don't know if you heard me at the beginning of the show, but it's really been on my heart to enlighten our community on the things that are going on that affect us all, young and old.
Now, can I interrupt a second just to let you know, I am hearing the words, but it's like a delay, and the whole sentence, I'm not getting the whole sentence. So if I look a bit confused, please forgive me, because I think there's a technical issue here, but I'm going to do my best to follow you as you speak. So please forgive me.
Okay. Like I said, I appreciate you on your off time being able to come and address our audience regarding scams that are plaguing our communities. Can you elaborate? Because I can hear you clearly.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about some scams that you know about that are real prevalent right now?
Now, what you're saying is delayed. I'm not hearing exactly what you're saying, but I am assuming you're asking me to share about different scams that I've been exposed to in my investigation as a detective. That's what you, okay. Well, when you did the introduction, I think one of the main things you mentioned was about the elderly. The elderly, as far as the criminal minds are concerned, are the most vulnerable. And under the Florida state statute, there is a law that governs the treatment of the elderly. It's called exploitation of the elderly. Criminal elements in our community, they will focus the elderly, one, because they're vulnerable. One of the main scams that is used for the towards the elderly is the what is called a lottery scam. That is where an elderly person is called and they are told that they have won the lottery, whether it be the publishing clearinghouse or any other institution that deals with the the prize of a great money of great monetary value. So what individuals will do in targeting the elderly will tell them that they've won a monetary sum in the millions. Normally, it's going to be in the millions, especially with publishing clearinghouse. And in doing so, they will advise the individual to pay, to send money towards the taxes. So, for example, I'll make a phone call. I will speak to Mrs. X or Mr. Y, and I will tell them that they've won $18 million and a nice brand new motor vehicle. Obviously, when you hear that, you're going to be very excited. You're going to be, open to what you're being told in regards to receiving that prize. And then what they do in moving forward, they'll say you need to send XYZ to a destination, whether it be a money order or a cashier's check, to an individual or to a location. And that's what ends up being done. The individual will collect the money. They'll either lodge it into their account, which is unlikely because the criminal element is aware they don't want to be tracked. So they will either send it to another account, or they will get a friend to allow them to deposit that cashier's check into their account. So when the police makes contact with the friend at some point, he or she won't know anything about the whole scheme to defraud. So that's one of the main things towards the elderly, is what is called a lottery scam. There's also the romantic scam. They have a romance scam where they will target maybe an elderly female who lives on her own, befriend her over the internet, over time, generate confidence in the relationship and in the individual, and then they will use the opportunity when they see fit to ask the individual female to send some money because they have a business they're investing in, or they just need some funds because their business venture is short of the funds. Could I just borrow XYZ? And then the individual will send funds to an unknown. They will be on the internet. They will have a picture of someone, maybe not as... I won't be as good looking as the individual, but they'll send an internet photo of an individual who is not that individual in reality, but it's just a photo. And the person, the victim, is convinced that they are having a relationship with this great looking guy, as good looking as Dr. J.
Well, that's a scam in and of itself.
So that's with the elderly. You have a multitude, a myriad of scams that is used, especially with the young people, where it's called cracking, whereby young people are approached to open accounts. In return for opening the account, they will request that the young person will allow checks to be deposited to that account. And in return, they'll get maybe a couple hundred dollars or maybe thousands, depending on what the arrangement is, because all the individual wants is the use of an account. So, for example, a young 18-year-old will open an account, and they'll tell them, if there's a problem with the account, you can always, the bank will close the account and you'll be fine. So what they do by using the account is they'll deposit counterfeit checks. So for example, I'll write a check, or I'll get a check for $20,000. I'll give it to this young person, or the young person will give me his or her card with the PIN number. I'll deposit the check, withdraw the cash before the bank realizes that the check is a counterfeit, because the machines at the ATM, they won't read that it's a counterfeit. So you're able to get maybe you won't get the full 20 grand cash, but you'll get 500 or whatever the limit is on with that bank, and you'll do it over a few days. By the time the bank realizes that the check is a counterfeit, you're gone with the money. Then me, I get the report. I'll find out that the young person has opened the account. He or she will say, I lost my card. My card was stolen. And they are aware that the insurance will cover the loss to the bank. And they get away. Or most times they'll get away, but not all the time. And there's ways and methods we have, which I won't share live, but we can get a positive result with these young people. But that's called cracking. A lot of young people are involved in that. And that's just another scam. And there's a number of others.
Now, are any of these scams perhaps like cracking? Are any of these scams kind of done in cahoots with each other? Because what you just described sounds like something that a person could do. And in some way or another, there's going to be a benefit that is reaped, you know, the person who initiated and the person whose account it went into.
Correct. And so there's a benefit for both. The benefit for the person who initiates it is the clearing of the counterfeit check. They'll benefit from the cash, and the person who allows the account to be used, they'll get a couple hundred dollars or whatever the agreement is. The account will be closed because the bank will close the account because of fraud, but the individual whose account it has been affected will just go and open another account at another bank. However, banks are now communicating with each other. So you will find, or these individuals will find, that they can't open an account at another bank because they've been flagged as being involved in fraud. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. And that messes you up for a long time or for the rest of your life, because you cannot open an account because the bank have caught on to this type of scheme to defraud.
Wow. And so these type of scams that you mentioned, they tend to come from everywhere. I mean, you know, now we can get things on our phones. Like I have a thing on my phone that alerts me, you know, scam likely, that this most likely it's a scam.
Yes.
But in those cases, a lot of those calls happen to do with more or less, you know, hey, you know, your insurance or your warranty has gone out on your car and that type thing. How do you deal with these scams? And as a matter of fact, someone just told me about one today, which happened to me as well, where you're getting a call, basically person proposing as a representative of IRS, saying that you're going to be, there's a warrant out for your arrest unless you know, pay this money or whatever.
Okay, and again, the technical issues are affecting my hearing. I've managed to understand that you're asking me a question about calls that are coming into people from someone who purports to be from the IRS or from a bank, etc.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the objective of these calls, first of all, is to solicit money or solicit information, personal information, in order to hack your account or your account, for example. So what the listeners need to understand is that there is no bank, and the IRS will not request personal information from anybody. That's the key to dealing with these con artists. So when
they will
get a phone call
you,
and they sound very professional, they will never call you. The IRS will never call you, and they will never request personal identification information from you. The bank will never do that either. So that's the first thing that's going to be a trigger into understanding that someone is trying to solicit information in order to hack your account. There are individuals that will call you, for example, and they'll say they're from a particular bank, and they'll say you are the victim of fraud. They will tell you that. Obviously, you're going to be alarmed. You're going to be concerned. Your guard is going to be down because you want to safeguard the hard-earned money you have in your account. So when they catch you like that, then they'll basically reassure you that everything will be under control. Then they'll ask you to confirm the last four of your social, or they'll ask you to confirm your account number, because they're going to work on trying to address a problem that they've told you, convince you that you have with your account. Once they do that, once you give them that information, they can get into your account and they can prevent you from accessing your account, because you have provided them with the information they need to access your account. And they're on the computer as they're talking to you, and they can access your account, and you now cannot get in. And they can do whatever, and all they do is transfer money from your account to another account. By the time you realize it, your money's gone. So when you then contact the bank, they don't know anything about that call, and you're out of 5, 6, or how much ever money you have in your account, thousands.
Wow.
Let me give you an example. Well, this was a scam. This was more of a lottery scam. I'm dealing with a case, and I can't go into names. There is a couple in Massachusetts right now who were called. They said they won the lottery. They won $18 million, and they had to send the money for the tax. This couple, over a couple few days, sent $193,000 to an account in my jurisdiction from Massachusetts. And right now, we have identified that individual who has worked with two other individuals, he or she, they have now gained $203,500.
Wow.
Just from people sending money, cashier check goes into their account. But I can assure you that individual has a very rude awakening coming very soon.
Wow.
Good. I'm glad that individuals like yourself are able to be a buffer to these criminals against us, because of the fact that it's so easy for it to happen. I also got an email regarding a scam where individuals are going door to door saying that the government has authorized them to pass out masks, and then the masks have something to knock the individuals out, and then they come in and rob them while they're unconscious. They tell them to try on the mask and make sure it fits properly.
Okay. Wow. That's the first I've heard of it, but I'm not surprised, because you're going to have their individuals who are, it's their profession to find any means to scam individuals or institutions out of money. They are people who are living very showy lives, nice cars, bling bling, and they are living off of being fraudsters. COVID-19 scams, I mean, the banking scams, the telephone scams, the investment scams, charity scams. I mean, the list goes on. But I think what is important, what's fundamental for all of us to understand, even myself to understand, is that number one, if it's too good to be true, then it's not true. That's number one. Number two, nobody is going to give you anything for free. I mean no disrespect to our listeners and our viewers, but sometimes greed gets the better of us.
Absolutely.
And yeah, sometimes greed gets the better of us, and we are willing to risk what we have because we've been promised more. But we're not prepared to understand that we haven't worked for it. We haven't put anything in to get it back. So a lot of us want to get things for free, and then we become suckers because that people know they can feed on individual greed.
Yeah, the first case that you talked about regarding the Publisher's Clearinghouse, I have a friend that actually happened to her father. Wow. She didn't know that he was doing this until his car got repossessed. She was like, why didn't you make your car payment? You make enough money. And that's when she found out that he was sending money to so-called Publishing Clearinghouse to pay his car payment, and found out that it was all a fraud. And prior to her finding out, the day the car was repossessed, the day before, he had just sent them more money for taxes for this money he's supposed to be getting, because they were going to pay off the car and everything. So he wound up losing his life savings, thinking that he was a recipient of the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very sad.
Well, for you to bring that story up first means that it is very prevalent, and there are so many people nationally that are going through this. And I thank you for taking the time out to talk about some of these, because, you know, you being a detective in here, you know, brings more reality to the things that can happen to individuals. It doesn't matter your social economics, because it will affect everyone.
Exactly.
Can I just add one more thing? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Yes.
The more information, the better for us.
Individuals who become another thing we need to be aware of is when criminals commit burglaries, what you find is a lot of these individuals will break into cars. They may not smash windows that much anymore. They just try car doors. And what we tend to do, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, we leave our personal identification information in our vehicles. Criminals are not so much looking for cash and valuables anymore. What they're looking for is personal identification information, like debit cards, credit cards. If they can obtain these things by breaking into your car, breaking into your home, but mainly going into your car, they can really do major damage to your finances and your account by using these cards and use identity theft and using your information. And what they tend to do, they will go all over. They'll go to Hollywood, Miami. They'll go to the casino, to Seminole. They'll use your card. And what happens today, we've changed over the years, because previously you'd go to your local police department, you'll make a police report, and it will be investigated. But what's happening now with fraud, they will use your cards at multiple jurisdictions, which means, strictly speaking, you have to go to multiple police departments to make a police report.
Wow.
So, for example, if my card is stolen and it's used in Hollywood, Lauderhill, let's say Miami, and let's do another, Miramar, strictly speaking, you'd have to go to all those departments to make a police report, because it's where the jurisdiction in which the crime occurred. So what we are now understanding as detectives is the economic crime unit in the state attorney's office, they are now understand that fraud is cross-jurisdictional. So there has to be some flexibility now in dealing with fraudulent criminal activity, whereby as long as it takes place in Broward, I don't have to be limited to Lauderhill, because if I see that you're using the card, I can charge you in multiple jurisdictions. Now, you will find that sometimes officers will not want to take a report because they'll say it didn't happen in my jurisdiction. They'll send you to whatever. But as we are now developing an understanding that we've got to we have to adapt to what is taking place in the 21st century, in now, with criminals who have become much more sophisticated. We have to move with the times. And basically, we can charge people across Broward. As long as it happens in Broward County, we can charge multiple jurisdictions, and the state attorney will take it. So I just want to let people know that.
I have a question. I have a question. My husband was a victim of fraud. He had gotten a credit card, and he'd been waiting and waiting for the credit card, and it never showed. But like a couple of days after waiting, and they sent an email saying your card has arrived, and so on and so forth. And then he, you know, looked on the account, because this bank just adds it on and they send the card live. They don't send it where you have to go through channels to activate it. They sent the card live, and the person used the card, charged up $2,500 worth of things from Sam's Club. And we're like, well, how could they go and actually get the card, because it never came to our mailbox? So is it the post office? Was it derailed? I mean, how could something like that happen? And then my thing was, okay, we never received the card and they used it at Sam's Club. It seemed to me that it could have been a open and shut case, because you just pull the video from Sam's Club and see who used that card. Because this person bought a television and had the nerve to buy a warranty with it.
Wow. Now, I didn't hear everything you said, because, again, the technical. But there's a couple points I want to make from what I managed to glean from what you said. Number one, when you have homes that are unoccupied, scammers will use those addresses to have mail sent to. So, for example, if next door to my house, there's nobody living there, pay attention, because you will have scammers who will apply for credit cards in other people's names or debit cards and have it mailed to that address, because they know that nobody lives there. So they'll go and pick up the mail. So that's something, as a neighborhood, as people, look out for each other. Keep an eye on people who are pulling up and going into mailboxes. Also, people will go into mailboxes and steal your mail, because they want personal identification information. So you need to pay attention. Another thing we need to do, check your bank statements regularly. Don't leave it for weeks. Just go in every couple of days, every once a week, just check your balance. Just make sure your debit and your credits are corroborating with what you know you're doing with your cards. When you go to the gas station and you use your debit card, use it as a credit card. Don't put in your PIN number. Use it as a credit card. Because people can put machines in the where the pump is, and they can read
skimmers.
Your card. Exactly. They're skimmers. That's what it's called. So when you go to the restaurants, as much as possible, and it's a very sad situation that you can't, but you just got to do these things. Don't leave your card with someone for any length of time where they take your card and they're going to pay. Just pay attention. Have them bring the point of sale machine in front of you, or go to the point of sale machine and pay for your meal and watch them swipe your card or whatever, or do it yourself.
Wow.
Don't leave people with your card. Those are the little things you do to protect yourself. When you go to the ATM and you're putting in your PIN number, cover your hand, make sure no one's near you just to catch your PIN. Those are little things you've got to do to protect yourself.
You know, I've always found it to be quite disturbing, even if I'm going through a drive-thru of a fast food restaurant, and they take my card and, you know, they close the little sliding window and they're going about their business. And a few times I've knocked on the window and say, hey, where's my card? Because I don't feel comfortable with my card out of my sight that long, number one. And number two, going back to what you said about at restaurants, you know, the point of sale type of a desktop kiosk where you can pay right there, it's a lot more comfortable because you think about it. From the time you give that waiter, that server, your card, and they disappear to go over, you know, where they go into a register that you can see or not, they have opportunity to write down your number. They have opportunity to take a picture of it, and the rest is history.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I'm not disparaging and disrespecting people of right. honest. People right. are honest, but you do have the minority. You just got to be mindful who will try to take advantage. All you need is a machine that's no bigger than about half an inch to swipe that the back of that the card, and it will read your card number. That's all it takes. And you can hide that in your pocket very easily. So, you know, just be mindful. And I'm sure people will understand if you say, do you mind if you could just use your card in front of me, please? I just want to be careful with the use of my card. And people will generally understand.
Great. Detective Clark, with all of the thefts that's been going on from the banks, are banks alerted to the fact, let's say if a senior citizen goes into a bank, are the banks kind of watching out for them to see who it is with them, having them withdraw money? Or if there's anybody lurking outside that may be connected to that person that, you know, can clearly see that he's a predator?
Some of the bank tellers are very aware, and they will pay attention. And unfortunately, some don't pay attention. Some are not vigilant at all. And also, you find that you will have a person who will pose as a home help with the elderly. They will pretend to be a person who's assisting the elderly. And the elderly who will succumb to the kindness and attention of someone who's with them will be vulnerable to being abused by these individuals. But most often than not, I find that bank tellers do pay attention, but sometimes they don't call the police. They just tell their managers, and they may say something to the customer, and they may bring it to the customer's attention, and the individual may just get away because it's not reported to us. There are times where these things are not reported to the police. It's just kept in the bank. But again, you know, at the end of the day, if we're all as citizens, honest, you know, law-abiding citizens, we pay attention to our environment and to individuals, and, you know, we give a helping hand when we can, then that in itself is better than doing nothing at all.
You know, I think here is where we need to make sure we make it clear that if we see something that looks out of order, say something. It's everybody's job to look out for each other. We appreciate law enforcement, but we have to take responsibility for those that are in our community. I grew up in New York. Now, being in New York, you would think there's no camaraderie, no one looks after each other, everybody is for themselves, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
In New York, our neighbors knew each other. So this community that I live in, I know my neighbors and we look out for one another. But people aren't doing that now. And I think we need to get back to the basics where we were our brother's keepers, where we did watch each other's back, especially our senior citizens, because of the fact that they're there in their homes, their children have moved away, their husbands or wives have died, and they're lonely. So we need to pay better attention to those that are our neighbors, those that we consider friends. It doesn't cost us anything to pick up the phone and check on someone and see how they're doing. It doesn't cost you anything to see if someone is being abused. Dr. J and I, we work with domestic violence. So we're very, with every show, we're always pushing awareness to domestic violence. If you see something, say something, because a lot of times that individual's not strong enough to say, I need help. And then they're not, you know, aware of what help is available, which is another thing. How do they know where to go or who to call when they're in a situation such as a victim of theft, a victim of domestic violence, a victim of a scam? How do they know where to go and who to call? Is 911 just it?
Yeah. And when you mentioned about community, the police cannot do everything. We need the help from our community. We should be an extension of community ourselves. Unfortunately, we're living in a time, Dr. Val, that individuals don't care. It's all about me, and I am not concerned about my neighbor because I'm more concerned about me. And that's the ethos that's running across society today. Also, there's the fear factor, because people are more aggressive today.
Absolutely.
People are less respectful today. And if I call on you because I'm concerned, there's a possibility that you may attack me, you may curse me out, you may get someone to hurt me because I've pushed my nose in your business. How dare you? So, especially amongst the younger generation, people are very quick to go to their waist and pull out a gun, very quick to go to their waist and pull out a knife, very quick to use their vehicle and try and run you over. And that's just the breakdown of discipline and respect in our society today. It's a sad tale, but that's how it is. And we can't do everything. We just cannot.
I know you can't. And that's why we're advocates on this show. I've always said to people, Dr. J, he's very active in his community in Palm Beach. You are always pushing people to go to the polls when it comes time to vote. We're always pushing individuals to be a part of their community, know who their mayor is, know who the chief of police is, know who the commissioners are, so that when there's something going on, you can bring awareness. Now, I know personally that when I've reached out to the commissioners, they have responded immediately to whatever request I had. And I'm so thankful for that. And Mayor Thurston, we go back some years because we served on the commission board together in the community for the chamber. So, you know, I'm an advocate for us being involved in our communities. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to get involved until something happens to them.
Yes.
How do you say about that? Because you said something very important. Y'all can't do it all. We need the community. So what would you say to the communities, not just here in Broward County, but globally? Because this is a global show. And if it's happening here, it's happening everywhere.
Could you repeat the question? Because I lost you there. I'm sorry.
What would you say to individuals listening about the community participating in helping the police do their jobs? You may be able to talk better, Dr. J. Can you repeat the question? Because he seems to hear you better.
Yeah. Basically, she's asking, what would you say to the viewers now about the importance of community being involved in assisting law enforcement in doing their job?
Okay. I'm getting that you're asking about the importance of community and being involved, the police with the community. That's the question.
Yes.
My chief Chief Constance Stanley, Lauderhill Police Department, is very much community orientated. The culture of the police has been, less so today, is very much authority, do as I say, and if you don't do as I say, we're just going to deal with you and you're going to be punished. That culture has subsided over the years. And that's because there's been an understanding that we cannot function effectively if we do not have the support of the people we serve. We cannot be everywhere at the same time. So we are relying on the eyes and the ears of the people who live in a community to assist us. Therefore, it is important that when we have any interaction with the community, we show respect. And also, we try to show our human side. I laugh, I cry, I pray, just like anybody else. I am fearful, just like anybody else. And if I can expose that to the people I deal with, that I'm just like you. The only difference between myself and you is that I am a certified officer with a firearm and I have a badge. But I am required to perform my duties with respect and also go out of my way to help people who are in need. And that's what it means to protect and serve. That is something I think is we're growing towards. There's also, and we need to also understand the community we serve. That means we don't just respond in our patrol cars to calls that are made to us, but we get out of our vehicles and we talk to people and we go into the communities and we interact because people react differently to police. You will have people from different backgrounds whose response to the police will be different. We need to understand that. So if there's a response that we're not used to, it doesn't mean the person is being violent towards us. It just means that their response is different than someone else. And if we can appreciate that and use those skills that God has given to us to address situations that may or could get out of hand, but because we understand the community we serve, then we will go a far way. And also, finally, and I know I'm saying a lot, if people know that you respect them, they will respect you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And they will, even though they may not like what you are employed to do, but they understand there has to be law and order. They understand there has to be the police. They know that. Even the simplest person understands that. But if they know also that you will respect them and treat them fairly, then they will respect you. And you never know. That person will one day call you to one side. They may not want their friends to see them, but they'll whisper in your ear and they say, "Officer, that's where that gun is." Don't say I say it. Because they know that you are just doing your job and you respect the people you serve. And they know that they need your protection just as anybody else. It's even the criminals, and my final point, the criminals who are brandishing their guns and shooting people or getting shot, who do they call? 911. They always call us. We always have to clean up. So
true. That's one of the things that I say when they were talking about, "Oh, let's defunct the police." I'm like, "Yeah, but if something happens, who are you going to call? You're going to call the police."
Don't call me.
don't call Ghostbusters either.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's just the craziest thing. But I believe that people feel that way is because they're estranged from their community. They have no idea who it is that is actually serving and protecting their community while they're able to sleep at night, while they're able to go to the grocery store or to the bank. It is individuals like you and Chief Stanley that have put people in place to patrol, to make sure that we are okay. I feel okay where I live because I know that Chief Stanley has individuals like you working and protecting me. I'm okay because I know that my mayor is doing the best he can for the city. I'm comfortable because I know my commissioners are at work. When something is going on, I see a pothole, I'll call, and you know what? Within a week, it's taken care of. Our city, where yes. I live, is yes. active. So you have to participate in your own rescue, and a lot of people won't participate in their rescue. And that's yes. where the breakdown yes. happens. We have to be diligent and not just looking at me, myself, and I, but we are a community, regardless of how you feel, isolated, living by yourself, don't have any friends. It's because you've closed yourself up and not shown yourself friendly. The word, the Bible says, yeah. he that must yeah. have friends must show themselves friendly. So there's plenty to do. You can go to these senior citizen centers. You can go to the movies. You can even find and connect with individuals in the grocery store. But you have to get out. You have to participate in the community. If you're living here, communicate. Find out who's there, who's living next to you. That's very important as well. Yes. You need to know who's living next to you. Because guess what? If it's a criminal living next to you and you befriend them, they'll wind up looking out for you. With love and kindness have I drawn thee.
Exactly. My battery's dying. Let me move.
Yes, because sometimes what happens is they will see, you know, a kid that's out on the street doing bad things, and that grandma reminds them of their grandma. Guess what? They're going to look out for their grandma. They're going to be like, yes. oh, no, you can't talk. You can't break into Miss Parker's home.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have to know who's in our area. And I think if we all start there, you know, y'all can't do everything. We got to start policing our own neighborhoods and looking out for our neighbors. And, you know, because like I said, when I go out of town, my neighbors are scoping and saying, they're like, oh, I miss you. Notice your car was gone. You know, if I notice I don't see my neighbor thing, I have their phone number. I call, says, everybody all right? But that's just who I am.
Yes. And I'm glad that's who you are.
Yes, we have to be. We have to be. We all can't just throw in the towel. We can't.
You know, I will say this. The importance of neighbors is very important. Communication can even cut down scam, other crimes. A lot of times in traveling, you know, although I may have a ring, you know, the ring system at my house, well, that's only inside of my gate. That's not outside of my gate. Yeah. And so when Amazon goes to deliver, if they have no access in the gate to my inside of my gate, they're putting things on the outside. And I'm very fortunate to have neighbors because they know that I go a lot and travel, that there are times my neighbor will grab my package and call me and say, hey, Dr. J, I got your package. So when you get in, just knock on the yeah. gate and I'll have it for you. Or the times where they'll write me a note and leave it on my gate and say, hey, you got a package over here that came for you. I can appreciate that. When I've traveled and I was away even in August in Colorado, it was my neighbors who were really on point about activities that was happening at my house and around my house. Yeah. And that meant a lot inside of it because had they not been here, wow, the things would have happened. So I agree with you, Dr. Bell. Sometimes the first line of defense is really just getting to know the people around you.
Yeah.
You know, having that type of relationship with one another and recognizing the fact that, you know what, at the end of the day, we all live within this very small space around each other and that we need to be each other's eyes and ears and, you know, and do the right thing far as that. Even when it comes to scam, you know, someone's knocking at your door, people come around these get rich scams. And I've been burned a few times, so I'll admit that part. You know, and I wasn't a senior when it happened, you know, but I've been burned a few times. I've gotten, I've got things that I thought was a great deal, and I just figured it was legitimate because the guy had it look like his work truck, a service truck, and man, there go that whole system, that whole surround sound system, and man, it looked great, and boy, I've been wanting a surround sound system, only to find out that, you know, the reason he gave it to me is such a great price, because it wasn't any good in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, but I made one call to one person. They said, oh, no, that's a scam. I said, what do you mean that's a scam? Please don't tell me it's a scam. They literally described my equipment. So, you know, so we have to be mindful. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. And we have to be definitely alert. And for one, I will say this. When we go back to scams, they are becoming more and more sophisticated.
Yes.
Like you get an email telling you, here's your invoice. This is your invoice for your renewal of your subscription. You know,
$900. I've been getting that.
Please, if you disagree with the amount, you know, contact this number or whatever. Well, we know the whole reason for that is for you now to call and do what you say. Let's confirm or verify. From that moment on, we're into your personal information.
Correct.
Actually, so what they didn't have, they now get.
And if you know you haven't purchased anything from Amazon and Amazon sends you something to say, this is to confirm the $200 that's coming out of your account tomorrow, exactly, for what you, and you know you haven't done
it. I just got that yesterday.
Don't get exactly caught. You got that? Yeah.
Yesterday, I just got that for $306. I said, I know I haven't purchased anything for $306. Exactly.
And the bottom line is, if it even comes out of your account, which it won't, because you know you didn't purchase it, your bank has insurance. They have to credit you with the money that's lost from your account. Mm-hmm. So don't respond, because all they want is you to click on that link, and absolutely, then the ball is all theirs. They just get all your information. No, no, no. Don't just delete, delete, delete.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's recap. IRS will never call you and say you need to pay them this money and that you're going to be arrested, because IRS will not call you or address you in that manner. They will send something to you in the mail.
Correct.
In writing.
Correct. And nobody, not even the police, and we'll even call you and say, if you don't do this, you're gonna be arrested. That doesn't happen.
Right.
So don't be
that amounts to being a threat
to do that.
And no one will call you saying you won Publishers Clearinghouse and you have to pay taxes, send them money for taxes. So because I know my girlfriend, it happened to her husband. I didn't know about it until after the fact. She told me, I said, he did what? But anyway, Publishers Clearinghouse will not call you and say you've won this money, but you have to pay the taxes.
That's not going to happen. That's a scam.
Yeah. Right. Now, one old one that's been going on and people are still doing it is Nigeria will say, a lot of people from Nigeria will email you and say, you've been the recipient of all these thousands of dollars and we need your information. And then after you give them the information, then they'll tell you they need you to pay a fee for this money. That won't happen. It is a scam.
Or you'll get an email from someone who's some king, or they've come into a lot of money and they want to invite you to participate in their wealth and you'd need to respond to the email. They just want a doorway to enter into your life so that they can scam you. No king is going to be emailing you from some Southern Arabia or whatever, or wherever in the Middle East. No, just ignore it and delete it.
And the next thing is, the government is not sending people door to door, handing out masks or COVID tests.
Correct.
They are not doing it door to door. They are passing out COVID tests, but it will be through the local post office. Correct. No one will knock on your door and give you COVID kits from the government.
Correct. The only thing won't be a scam is if you get a call from Detective Richard Clark asking to buy him lunch. That won't be a scam.
And we will oblige.
I will oblige from the soul of a woman.
Well, that's good to know.
But Detective Clark, again, thank you, thank you, thank you for Absolutely. Allowing us to share in this hour.
My
on
pleasure.
Your off time. You know, you didn't have to do it. And I appreciate Chief Stanley for allowing you to do it and also being proactive and making sure that the community is aware of all these things that are plaguing us. And again, to Mayor Thurston for always being on call, no matter what, he'll call back, say, Valerie, what's going on? So I thank the people that are in my community. I love you and appreciate you much. You know, evil prevails when good men and women do nothing. That's by Edmund Burke. If we sit and do nothing, then everything can be destroyed within a matter of days, really. Even days it will take to dismantle somebody's life. And we want to try to make sure that that doesn't happen by allowing this platform to expound on things that are happening so it won't happen to you.
Thank you. Dr. Val and Dr. J, thank you very much for having me. Thank you to your listeners for listening. And God bless you both and continue with doing what you know you need to do in the community. Continue to do a good job. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
And Dr. sorry about Smith. The technical issues. I don't know.
That's okay. We were able to get the information, and people will be able to replay this. It's on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and it'll also be on blog radio. So your voice will transcend, like I said, globally, so that individuals will get this information, hearing from a real detective that this is going on, that scams are really real and alive and affecting us all. And I thank you again for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul.
Thank you very much.
Good night and God bless.
Good night. God bless. Night. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Dr. J, this was a powerful show. You know, the work that we do in the community is just, you know, we can't never get weary because this is what we're called to do. And I thank you for being my co-host. We've been rocking and rolling as friends for over 33 years.
Yes, this is what I think we'll do. I think we'll start somewhere in the show saying, if you have any questions or comments out there, please put it in the chat. Because sometimes people can get so caught up with listening for the information that they don't take the opportunity to say, okay, let me ask this. But man, he just clarified so much stuff for me. And then the motive just made sense. It just made sense of why these things happen. And man, these are the type of things you have to continue to share because these scams are happening every day. I have been deleting stuff like crazy. I get it all the time from the whole Norton, you know, for us. Computer.
I've been getting that every day about your Norton security system is expired. It's time to renew.
Yeah. Just got to be on top of it because he said that one click opens up the doorway for everything.
They can take your whole life and turn it upside down. And, you know, it's just a strategy. If they're not sticking a knife in you, or shooting you, they're killing you financially. It's just, it's just so terrible. My heart goes out to the people that have been victims, you know, that are still trying to recover and those that can never recover because, you know, they're untraceable, can't prosecute. So my heart really goes out to them you know, and you and I in the community, and we hear these stories all the time, and I wanted to shed light on them. So, you know, thank goodness that Detective Clark was available for us.
Yeah. Well, let's be thinking about what we want to do next week. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to let you go, but interesting.
Yes. Well, one of the things we're going to close out the show. So I need you to say your website information so individual will know how to connect with you.
Yes. I'll start doing that. Fantastic.
Okay.
All right. So I have this little interesting thing.
Dr. J.R. Thickley, and I need you to give your website before we sign completely off the air.
Okay. It is jrthickland.com, www.jrthickland.com.
And then you can always reach me at fromthesoulofawoman.com. And if you know anyone that's a victim of domestic violence, you can call the hotline 1-800-799-7233. And you know that mental illness has plagued us, and we've done several shows on mental illness, and we'll continue to do them because it is affecting everyone, especially since this pandemic. So the National Mental Illness Hotline is 1-800-950-6264. And again, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul. And remember what I said from Edmund Burke, evil prevails when good men and women do nothing.
Good night. Good night.